to James Allen. The community psychiatrist must have been at least 10 years her junior, Jenny guessed, and was trying hard not to be intimidated by her. How many professional women could he encounter here at the small hospital in Chepstow, a one-horse town by anybody's measure? "You've experienced no panic attacks for the last month." The young doctor turned through the many pages of Jenny's notes. "No." "Have you encountered any situations which have triggered panic symptoms?" She scanned back over the last few months. The tension of the job interviews, the elation of being appointed coroner, the impulsive decision to buy a home in the country, the exhaustion of moving without help, the overwhelming guilt at acting so decisively in her own interests. "I suppose..." She hesitated. "I feel most anxious when I phone my son."
"Because?"
"The prospect of his father answering." Dr. Allen nodded.
"Can you be more specific?"
"He judges me, even though it was his affairs that ended our marriage. His insistence that I keep up my career while trying to be a mother. His decision to fight for custody. He still judges me."
"What is his judgment?"
"That I'm a selfish failure."
"Has he actually said that to you?"
"He doesn't have to."
"You say he encouraged you in your career. Is this a judgment you're passing on yourself?"
"I thought this was psychiatry, not psychoanalysis."
"Losing custody of your son is bound to have stirred up all sorts of difficult emotions."
"I didn't lose him. I consented to him living at his father's."
"But it's what he wanted, though, wasn't it? Your illness shook his trust in you."
Jenny shot him a look intended to signal that was far enough. She didn't need a 30-year-old quack to tell her why her nerves were shot. She just needed a repeat temazepam prescription. Dr. Allen regarded her thoughtfully.
"You don't think that by taking this position as a coroner, you're in danger of overstretching yourself?"
Jenny forced a tolerant smile. "I have taken this position because it's predictable, safe, salaried. There's no boss. I answer to no one."
"Except the dead. And their families."
"After 15 years in childcare law, the dead will be a welcome relief." Her answer seemed to interest him. He leaned forward with an earnest expression. Jenny cut in. "Look, the symptoms are easing. I can function, and mild medication is helping me to regain control. I appreciate your concern, but I think you'll agree I'm doing everything to get my life back on the rails." She glanced at her watch. "And I really do have to get to work now." Dr. Allen sat back, disappointed.
"If you gave it a chance, I'm convinced we could make progress. Perhaps remove any danger of you having another breakdown."
"It wasn't a breakdown."
"Episode, then, an inability to cope."
Jenny met his gaze. "Of course I don't want that to happen again," she said. "I'd love to continue this discussion another time. You've been very helpful, but I really do have to leave. It's my first day at the office."
"One final thing. I read in the notes from your meetings with Dr. Travis that you have a 12-month gap in your childhood memory, between the ages of 4 and 5.
"His notes should also record that between the ages of 5 and 35, I was relatively happy." Dr. Allen folded his hands patiently on his lap.
"I look forward to having you as a patient, Mrs. Cooper. But you should know that the tough defences you have built for yourself have to come down eventually. Better you choose the time than it chooses you."
Jenny felt her heart beginning to thump, a pressure building on either side of her head, her field of vision fading at the edges. She stood up quickly, summoning sufficient anger at her weakness to push the rising panic away. Trying to sound casual but businesslike, she said, "I'm sure we'll get on very well together. May I have my prescription now?"